Welcome to Reality Check Live radio program, discussing topics that are close to the heart of conservative America. If you love your family, your country, and honor God, Reality Check is for you. Join Mike and Clary and their exciting guests right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and on nettalkworld.com. Also on uswebtalkradio.com. Check out our website, realitychecklive.talkspot.com. And now, here's Mike and Clary.
Good morning. Welcome to Reality Check Live with Mike and Clary. I was going to say, Father, how are you, Clary? The echo got me.
Yes, there was an echo there.
How are you, Clary?
Okay, I'm fine. I'm doing good.
You know what's really interesting, and I saw a tail end of...
I was trying to say something. I had an exciting walk this morning.
Oh.
There were these bikers that...
Bicycle guys.
That, and they were coming behind me, and one of them shouted something, and I turned around to see what it was, and I think they were just telling me there were four bikers coming up behind, so I don't get scared. But the second one says, "Thank you for smiling." I was like, wow, nobody thanks me for smiling.
Well, folks, if you ever want to see Clary smiling, just go to her Facebook, type in Clary Monokian, M-O-N-O-K-I-A-N, and Clary spelled with two I's.
Right.
Now, I just want to say something, and I know Kook's on the line. We're going to skip the introduction today, but, well, he's not really Kook. He's the Kook Report, Lawrence from St. Petersburg, but it's very interesting, and I'm glad Glenn Beck talked about it. I caught the tail end yesterday, talking about George Soros. Now, I knew... About 6 to 8 months ago, a lot of us found out that George Soros was given $2 billion of the stimulus money to drill for oil off the coast, okay, of Brazil. And that drilling is much deeper than the 5,000-foot down well we have the leak right now in the Gulf. And it's very interesting how the mindset of the liberals, yet it's okay for George Soros to get $2 billion of U.S. dollars, supposed to be just a loan, to drill for Brazil, and then Brazil will also be able to use that oil if they want to sell to Iran, to China, most likely will go to China, not even for the interest of the United States of America. Now, George Soros is basically the father, after Saul Alinsky, you could say he's the one that took the torch of the liberal agenda, and George Soros, to many of the Jewish people, were basically felt betrayed during World War II, during the Nazi invasions. And so it's the hypocrisy of it. And Lawrence, I know you want to talk a little bit about, it's okay for the president to go golfing, and the White House says it's good for America, yet it's wrong for the BB president to take his son out to watch a yacht race that they have a lot invested in. Lawrence, welcome to today's show.
Well, good morning, Clary and Mike, Arkansas area and the Tampa Bay area. Exactly right. Our president, Barack Hussein Obama, is in charge. He's the man. The buck stops at his desk. He's admitted it several times. And everyone knows that he's been in charge. And the Democrats have been in charge of the Senate and the Congress for more than Obama being in there. So the Democrats are a complete charge. How is it that they have the gall, the unmitigated gall, to berate and bemean the... CEO of an international corporation, and begrudge him his downtime during a crisis of taking his son to a yacht race or whatever the case may be, and then Biden and Obama go out and play golf? How is it that President Obama can go have Paul McCartney at a concert and party? And the oil's gushing out on the Louisiana coast. How is it that Barack Obama is blaming BP and putting a black boot on the neck of that corporation, and Barack Obama is shooting hoops, playing golf, and traveling all over the world? What gall! And if anybody doesn't agree with the obvious, the hypocrisy, the obvious incapable incompetence of Barack Hussein Obama in showing any leadership whatsoever, they're a bigger Kool-Aid drinker than most of these libs.
Lawrence, we know that the liberals are anti-American, anti-family, and anti-God. I should reverse those. But those are the three they are. And therefore, Obama going out to play golf was for himself. It wasn't for family stuff. He wouldn't spend his day off with the family and do things with his girls and have the nation see that he's a family man. He goes out and play golf with his buddy or and so forth. But for somebody who is a family man who wants to spend time with his son and wants to do things that his son likes to do, it's a disgrace.
I would also like to throw out there, Clary, that Obama doesn't go to church either on Sunday. He doesn't go to church. He goes out and plays golf, plays basketball, and everyone else is out there working on the beaches, trying to clean things up. The man is totally incompetent, and how the American people can stand listening that all that comes out of that man and administration's mouth is blame. He has no solutions. He has no leadership skills or quality whatsoever.
Okay, I'm going to change the subject after this comment. Let's be honest. American people are watching less and less of the president. His polling numbers last time where the ratings were way down. And so he's losing the impact over the American mindset. And also, when you think about Barack Obama and the people that educate him and the type of plans that they have to basically disgrace anyone that they're contrary in or against, and with BP, BP is the perfect opportunity, and Emmanuel will probably agree with this, to push cap and trade. So therefore, you could deify the CEO of BP and the big oil companies and the millions and billions of dollars they're making. So what better way to punish
them? I don't think it's deify is the right word. It's demonized.
Demonized, right. They could, and so this is their opportunity. But let's go on to another story. And once again, the man who voted for President Barack Obama to be president, he admits to that, General McChrystal, is being called back to Washington because he made some comments to Rolling Stone magazine that despite what everybody believes, he still believes he can win the war. But his aides were saying that when McChrystal first met with Barack Obama, he was very disappointed how uninformed or prepared he was for the meeting. And he also talked about a number of other people that are hindering it, the war effort. And now he's going to be brought back to Washington, most likely fired. And I'll tell you something, if they do fire him from being the lead person in Afghanistan, I hope he leaves the armed forces for now and goes out and tells the public exactly what this administration is doing to the security of the United States of America.
Well, I think that would be appropriate, but he is a military man that has sworn to uphold the laws and security of the country, and he won't do that. He's a patriot, but maybe if he resigns and then is out of
that's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah, but again, you're going to watch the Obama administration led by Barack Obama in demonizing McChrystal. The media will paint it that the reason that they're in this situation is because of the general, the leader. And Obama has no responsibility, no authority, and he is completely void of making things better. All he is blame in chief, is blame people and then move on and start another catastrophe. What we are watching again is a complete incompetence of our president, leader of the free world, not so free anymore, that is not managing Afghanistan, not managing Iraq, not managing Iran, Israel, not managing Korea, not managing the Gulf crisis, not managing closing Gitmo, not doing anything that he has promised to do. He is totally incompetent, and I am very sure that the American people, the large majority of the American people, including the people that have buyer's remorse now that voted for Obama, are waking up.
Okay, I'm gonna make a statement, and I'm gonna allow you to have the closing word. We all know about what Obama said to Kyle privately, the congressman out of Arizona, I believe, that we won't secure the border until we agree to amnesty. Now, here in Florida, and the reason I brought that up to bring up something here in Florida, he told a senator in Florida, Obama told me we won't deploy any oil skimmers because they might be needed elsewhere. Now, this affects us in Florida and in the panhandle, and it seems like that this president, nobody really knows what he's about unless there's a deal being made to benefit him and the left movement. Florida could be suffering now. And I wouldn't be surprised in not many days we'll see a lot more oil rolling up on our beaches, especially in the panhandle.
Well, I want you to watch the governors. What we have is a total lack of incompetence on the national level. And so you're going to see people like Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, Haley Barbour, and hopefully Charlie Crist, governors of these states that are in peril, to take action themselves, because our federal government is incapable and inept. And so you will see leadership, but you see nothing but blame that's coming from the Obama administration. And guaranteed he'll be playing golf again this Sunday and tell you why it's okay for him to do it, why everyone else is out there sweating and unemployed and trying to make it through. It's a disgrace.
Well, and with that, I'm going to let you go.
I appreciate it, and God bless America while we still have that opportunity.
And you know what? I believe we're going to sustain America. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye. We're going to break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? Having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars and without risking your family home. No, this isn't bankruptcy. It isn't one of those credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. We're Credit Card Relief. We've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're an attorney-driven program with an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call Credit Card Relief now at 1-877-515-8148. That's 877-515-8148.
BMMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee, Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
And welcome back to Reality Check Live. And on the line, we have April Marie Fogel, State Representative for Florida Americans for Prosperity. April, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Hello, April. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hey, there April, you go. Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
It's great to have you. We have been blessed a number of times to have Tim Phillips with us on our show. And when we heard that you were in the state, we tried to get you in last week before the conference that you had in Orlando, but we were already booked up when I found out. So we're glad you're here. And I'm going to ask you to tell our listeners what this conference was about in Orlando. And you're also being heard in Arkansas, which you have a pretty strong group in Arkansas for American for Prosperity. And so why don't you share what was going on here this week, past weekend?
Charlie. What we did on this weekend was we kicked off the Florida tour of November is Coming. November is Coming is a nationwide initiative that lets incumbent members of both parties know that if you vote yes on big government, we will vote no on you in November. And so we launched our what's going to be a 7-city tour of the November is Coming initiative in the state of Florida, and really rallied in Orlando specifically, where we have two members of Congress, Congresswoman Cosmas and Congressman Grayson, and told them that we really are watching your votes, and we're going to act accordingly in November.
Now, also, we have what we were seeing in the Senate race, and we were all happy to see Rubio ahead in the polls until Governor Crist decided to go independent. He's kind of way up there in the polls right now, and he also is a supporter of big government. Is that correct?
He is. He is. And, you know, one of the things we're going to be, really educating Floridians about is that this isn't a party issue. This is an American issue. This is a voter issue. And Charlie has supported big government on a number of pieces of legislation statewide and nationally. Of course, he came out with the president and, not just figuratively, but literally embraced the stimulus plan and embraced the president while he did it. And cap and trade is something he's shown some interest in. And a lot of big government policies that we just can't stand as a nation anymore. So, yes, Charlie Crist and Kendrick Meek are both on our radar for letting them know we know what they've done and we're watching what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, like America for Prosperity has definitely been a grassroots organization over the years, but had a tremendous impact, and especially in the last couple elections in the governor's office across the nation. It seems like that you guys are getting a lot of information out to the people out there, and you're not getting the sponsor of the media. You're not going to be heard on mainstream media and what's going on there. How do you guys do what you do and get the message out like you do?
Well, that's what's so fundamentally great about Americans for Prosperity and now starting a Florida chapter. AFP now has chapters in 31 states, and it's really the core of the grassroots movement, in that people who are fed up, they like to tell you they're fed up, and they like to tell their friends and really get messages out. So Americans for Prosperity is a word-of-mouth organization. We do the rallies. We do email campaigns, calling campaigns. And we are seeing significant growth from individuals who are seeking out information and can appreciate that groups like ours provide it, and that we're able to send them action alerts when they need to, see that their government is doing something, see that their state legislature is doing something. And so Americans for Prosperity is seeing a lot of growth as our government, unfortunately, takes their eye off the ball and starts growing itself.
Now, you had also on your, I believe on your website, there was somewhere the American people could fill out a petition and send to the different congressmen and senators. How many, do you know how many in Florida got connected to those petitions and signed them?
At this point, I think we've had over 8,000, and I have to look at those numbers after our latest media blast, because we just announced in the media, and as you saw, we have gotten a release on, we just announced the statewide kickoff tour. Now, we got a little over 100 on Saturday, and we have another event in Boca Raton this Thursday where we will be filling out the November is Coming pledge, and the November is Coming pledge simply says, I will vote no on you if you voted yes on health care, if you vote yes on cap and trade energy tax or any EPA overregulation, if you vote yes on any more bailouts or any attempts to take over the Internet. So it's a simple pledge, and we're giving them to the members. So what we're going to do this Thursday is we're going to have a group gathered in Boca Raton, and we're going to walk them one by one into Klein's office. So these petitions are actually going to be seen and given to him. And so we have an initiative. Right now, Americans for Prosperity is at a little over 57,000 members strong in Florida, and we're going to grow that to 100,000. And I would like all of those individuals to sign this pledge.
You know, if you have 100,000 Florida voters that are in agreement with American for Prosperity, that's definitely going to tip the ballots on November. There's no question about it that the influence that you will have on those that you put your seal of approval on is going to make the big difference in the state.
And that's what we intend to do. We really intend to, and not, it's a cross-party line. There are fiscally conservatives of fiscal conservatives all over the state registered as independents or even as Democrats in North Florida. And so we are going to reach out to individuals across party lines, really get the voters who care, who want to be informed, and who want to see change, and get them involved in Americans for Prosperity and what we're doing here.
And I think a lot of the Americans are starting to understand what cap and trade could mean. There's no question about it. They're starting to understand what big government spending is, because if the interest rates go up on our debt across the board, Americans could be taxed extremely heavy. And one of the liberal congressmen I was listening to not long ago saying that, oh no, Alan Greenspan said this: America's going to be in so much debt that they're going to have to tax gas up to $4 or $5 a gallon, just basically to sustain if interest rates go up. And of course, the spending that we're seeing, we're going to be close to two more trillion added to the deficit this year because of Barack Obama's budget.
It's incredible. It really is. You look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., and you realize how out of touch with America and Americans and what we want and stand for as a country and in terms of a free enterprise market, and really letting these companies, you know, take care of themselves and not grow in government. And you look at this and you think of skyrocketing taxes, and it's scary, and it's inappropriate. And I really, really hope that that the voters vote these elected officials out based on their policies.
Do you believe that this younger generation, who seem to be so much of an entitlement generation, will even believe that there is a possibility of Americans for Prosperity, that we have the right to prosper?
I believe that it's a message that goes across all ages, all generations. I think I'm a young adult. I'm 29 years old, and I think that what we're finding is that everyone believes that we have that right. That everybody believes that that government doesn't have the right to limit or tax us if we are successful, or to limit private government or private industry growth.
Now, it's also interesting that the president wants to have another bailout of $50 billion. At the same time, I still understand that there's $500 billion of the other stimulus money not spent. But he wants Congress and to push through another $50 billion bailout for schools, for firefighters, for states, just general states, and also a bailout for the unemployment. Now, I think we're seeing on both sides of the aisle, enough is enough. And America may have to go through some hard times right now. But to be honest with you, if they start starving the school system, I'm not going to lose any sleep over. The education system is so pathetic, so poor. It's basically an indoctrination center, and that's how I see it. But not all teachers are like that. I have my sister's a teacher. Clary's family been professors in universities. So, you know, America has to make a stand. If we don't make it now, we're going to look like Europe pretty soon.
I agree that something has to be done, and we can't afford more bailouts. And so just the fact that up in D.C. they are so out of touch with what's happening in the mainstream, and they're not giving us solutions to our problems. Unemployment isn't being changed by what they've done. They gave the banks the money, and the banks stopped lending. What they intended to do, or what they claim to have intended to do, hasn't been done by the first several bailouts, and it's not going to be done by additional ones. And so we really have to let them know that enough is enough, as you said.
And if it wasn't for the census, our unemployment would probably be at least 11.5%. And the oil spill will add a lot of jobs for people to clean up, but we really don't have an economy that is – it's almost like, you know, when I used to live in Miami, especially years ago when I was in high school – you had what they would say underground economy through the cocaine coming out of Colombia and all. You had an underground economy, and it wasn't real, but yet it sustained Miami, and a lot of money came in like that. Well, the stimulus money has basically got this economy going for people working for the census and other the cleanups and all, but it's really not a sustaining economy, and eventually we're going to be reaping what we sown with this.
I was absolutely shocked when everybody came out and started touting the wonderful jobs numbers last month. I don't know if you remember that. And it turned
yes,
out
I do.
The majority of them were census workers that were temporary. So, like you're saying, in 3 to 6 months, these people are going to be unemployed again. And the same with the individuals who will now be involved in the oil cleanup. And so I think that what we need is real solutions. And real solutions rarely come from the government. They come from private industry and letting the market work the way it needs to.
Now, I understand you're coming into Sarasota, Florida sometime in the near future, which is our hometown. Is that true?
Yes, yes, we will be bringing on our tour. I've really targeted a number of cities where I believe that good grassroots networks already exist, and they or may not know about Americans for Prosperity, so give us an opportunity to introduce ourselves. So Sarasota, Bradenton is one of those areas that I'd like to come into and really tap into the network there and educate them and inform them about what we're doing statewide.
Do you have a date yet?
We don't have a date set. We'll have a date set within the next couple of weeks, and I'll be sure you get that.
Yeah, make sure, because we'll run ads for you and everything else at no charge, because we really believe in what you're doing. Before
Think
I let
this.
You go, tell
your
the
show.
Listeners how to hook up with America for Prosperity and the local chapter in our state of Florida.
Well, I encourage everyone to go to our website at novemberiscoming.com. That's just novemberiscoming.com. That's where you'll find the pledge that I mentioned earlier. And I'd be very, very grateful if everyone in the state would turn around and send this message to their members, send it to their local elected officials, send it to Chris and Meek and everybody running statewide, and let them know that we're not going to take any more of this big government. And so novemberiscoming.com. And then for more information on Americans for Prosperity and Americans for Prosperity Florida, you can just go to americansforprosperity.com as well.
Well, thank you so much, April. You're going to be a great spokesman for them, and thank you for representing us in our state. God bless you.
I appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, we'll be right back after the break. We're going to be talking about, you may not know this, but in Oakland, California, a ship that came over from Israel, guess what? They wouldn't unload it, and wait till you hear who's behind it. We'll be right back after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, folks. Peter Epstein, president of Merit Financial, the Gold People. In tough economic times, I can't tell you how important it is to diversify your investments. While the stock market has gone down, gold has more than tripled in value since 2001. Tripled in value. For over 24 years, we've helped people make conservative investments for protection and profit. We guarantee every piece of gold we sell is inspected to assure the highest quality. We guarantee to ship in-stock products in 3 days and will beat any advertised price on the products we offer. That's the Merit Guarantee. Call now and I'll send you our gold investment guide absolutely free. Find out how gold can protect your financial future. Call Merit right now for your free gold guide and remember the Merit Guarantee. The right gold at the right price right away.
Call 1-888-308-5522. Call now for your free gold investment guide. Call 1-888-308-5522. That's 888-308-5522. 308-5522.
KinderCare mandates exposing 3 and 4 year olds to homosexuality. I'm Garrett Messmacher, and that's coming up next. A national chain of preschools named KinderCare Learning Center has instituted a mandatory pro-homosexual curriculum for all 3 to 4 year olds. The agenda, which is being pushed by KinderCare's owner, Kohlberg Kravis Robertson Company, requires the reading and discussion of the book Families by Anne Morris. The new policy requires the text to remain a part of the program's permanent book collection. It is also featured prominently during the 2-week My Home and Family unit. The book normalizes the concept of same-sex couples heading families and includes photos of a lesbian couple kissing while posing with their daughter. Liberty Counsel became involved through contact with a former KinderCare employee after she was discharged when she lobbied for religious exemption. Partnering with the American Family Association, the council is calling for public action. David Corey, Senior Litigation Counsel, stated, "We hope that the light of public scrutiny will cause decision-makers to come to their senses. Parents voting with their feet and wallets will enable us to be effective on a national basis." For more information, call 1-800-671-1776 or go online to lc.org.
Liberty Counsel is a religious civil liberties education and legal defense organization. For more information, call 1-800-671-1776.
Do you want a wireless laptop, but your credit score is holding you back?
We can help, guaranteed. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, we'll send you a brand new wireless laptop, no matter what your credit looks like. Call Tronics Country now. You're approved for a brand new Dell or HP laptop. Call now and we'll also include a free MP3 player and free LCD TV with your paid order. Call 800-769-1426. Still not sure? Then hear what our customers say.
I'm really enjoying my laptop.
I just wanted to call to say how happy I am with it.
And I'm very pleased with their service. So I would suggest to anyone that is looking for computers or trying to find computers, Tronics is the best place to call.
Call now and lock in your free gifts. You will not be turned down. Call 800-769-1426. 800-769-1426. That's 800-769-1426.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
And welcome back to Reality Check Live. And on the line, we have Ryan Muro of WorldThreats.com and a world research analysis of threats from terrorism. Ryan, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back, and there's so many things I want to throw at you the next 12, 13 minutes and see how many we get done. But there's one story that got very little attention, and it's actually, I found this on Pajamas Media, about a Israel cargo ship arriving in Oakland was forced to sit idle, and its containers were not offloaded, and the longshoremen joined force with a coalition of communist and Islamic groups. Do you know anything about this?
Oh, yes, I do. A bunch of far-left groups that are constantly screaming that Israel is an apartheid state, that they're an oppressor state, and then, of course, ignore the transgressions of Hamas, got together with some Islamist groups, not open supporters of terrorism, but still highly, highly anti-Israel and won't condemn Hamas. Got together and they decided to engage in some activism, shall we call it, against a ship belonging to an Israeli-owned company. And this is something that I think you're going to see happen a lot more and more as time goes on, because there's colleges out there where divest from Israel programs are becoming popular. There's frequent guest speakers that are against Israel. So I think that you're going to see a lot more activism like this here in the West.
You know, we had just recently, was it University of Southern California, where there was a guest speaker from Israel, and they had to basically remove a number of Muslim students, and these Muslim students may be suspended.
Right.
What school was that?
The Israeli ambassador that came to speak, and they decided to come and heckle him.
You know, this is going to be really dangerous for Jewish people in the United States of America, and it's going to be as dangerous as Hitler was starting to get his momentum going before he did the concentration camps. Jews in this nation are not going to be safe with this movement. At the same time, they have been supporting the far-left programs in America, and with the progressive move, I have a feeling that the Jewish community, which is 5% of the American people, which donate 25% to all the campaign donations, I think we're going to see a turnaround in how and who they're going to support in the future. I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Obama administration is losing a lot of support among the Jewish community because of his fights with Israel. It's really been interesting and really boggles my mind to see why there has been so much Jewish support for people even on the far left side, Denis Kucinich, and it's almost like Israel isn't a factor. But now that this problem of radical Islam is coming home, and although there's people that most Islamists don't support violence against Jews and will come out and say things like they support the destruction of Israel, they take a more peaceful, more likable tone, and that's how they pursue these sort of things, and just like the incidents that you mentioned. But I think that they're starting to happen in such number now that the Jewish community and actually the evangelical Christian community are taking notice.
Yeah, it was interesting. A number of months ago, Alliance Defense Fund represented a number of Christians who went to a Muslim festival, and they were forbidden to pass out Christian tracts. But they won that case. And just this past weekend, I believe it was in Michigan, once again, an Arab festival, that four Christians were handcuffed and removed from the festival simply because they were sharing maybe their beliefs that they didn't really say. But the term that they were yelling and screaming in the Muslim festival at the Christians was something that was a little shocking. And let me say, Allah Arbak, is that right?
Allah Akbar.
And they were shouting that as they were dragging the Christians away. Are we going to start seeing more of this behavior across America?
Yeah, I think it's really inevitable. I mean, just as they gain strength, particularly through political correctness. If you want a really good example of political correctness being used as a weapon, the Christian Action Network put out a new DVD called Islam Rising, which is available at IslamRising.com, about a man named Geert Wilders, who's a prominent Dutch politician, very popular right now in the Netherlands for his anti-Islam stance, not all of which we agree with, but he's being prosecuted right now for alleged hate speech. And that's just coming from the fact that he said that the Quran should be banned. He says that mosques shouldn't be constructed anymore in the Netherlands. Positions that, you know, are radical and we don't endorse. But should he really be prosecuted for that? Well, there's radical Islamic demonstrations going on in Europe that call for the destruction of Israel and overthrowing democracy. I mean, that's a massive double standard.
Someone sent me an email, and I'm not sure exactly how true this is, but it says that Obama appointed two devout Muslims to Homeland Security posts. Is that true? And that Janet Napolitano appointed a devout Muslim to Assistant Secretary of Policy Development, and the National Executive Director as a member of the Homeland Security Advisory Council. Are these things true?
Oh, yeah, that's true, but that's also not just something that the Obama administration has done. We saw that happening under the Bush administration as well, particularly after 9/11, when the elected politicians really wanted to court the Muslim community because they were worried about them feeling alienated and then not working with the FBI, and also, you know, they were concerned about votes. Shortly after 9/11, actually, President Bush stood with 15 Muslim American leaders that denounced terrorism and said that 9/11 was not representative of Islam, which I think is true. But several of those leaders were connected to this group called the Muslim Brotherhood. That's an extremist organization and operates many prominent American Muslim organizations here in the United States that portray themselves as moderates, but then on the other hand do everything they can to undermine a healthy relationship between the Muslim community and the federal government.
You know, I found some clearly. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say the same thing as the group CARE. They're not terrorists, but they're associated with and they fund the terrorist groups. And to me, it's once you stand for what the terrorists actually stand for. Is to annihilate all the infidels, which are anybody that is against or who are not Muslims. I mean, that puts the whole world at risk. And it doesn't make any sense to put this kind of people in the offices of the protection of the United States of America.
Well, to be honest with you, I think that it's actually good to have Muslims in positions related to national security because the ones that are good and the ones that are moderate do bring a wealth of knowledge and experience. They can be used to reach out to the Muslim community. I know my sources in the FBI and law enforcement say that the Muslim community really has done a fairly good job of acting as, I guess, spies, as you could say, against suspected extremists and terrorists. So you want to keep that relationship going. So I think it's good to a certain degree. But we do have to be extra careful in regards to the people that we choose because of this myriad of organizations connected to the Muslim Brotherhood and other extremists that parade as moderates, which is really, really false.
You know, something else I want to jump onto another subject that we have noticed that our borders of south of us are not secure. And most of the time when you think of the borders in Arizona, Texas, California, you're thinking of just Mexican citizens coming out trying to find work. And of course, we have a tremendous drug cartel. But also, I believe the government has maybe captured close to 1,000 men who are basically from terrorist sponsor states and countries. And they say for everyone they caught and got away, and we may have 5,000 or 10,000 terrorists that came to this country through our southern border. that are planting sleeping cells right now, we may be seeing a whole lot of activity. And as we noticed with the New York trial, the Pakistan-born U.S. citizen who called himself a Muslim soldier avenging U.S. attacks in Muslim countries admitted he's guilty and all, but he says that the attacks will continue at a greater level in America.
Right. Well, when you look at the border, I mean, that is just an open target for terrorist organizations. We know that Hezbollah has built ties with the Mexican drug traffickers using the same routes, using the same tactics that they use in order to enter the United States. So we're not talking about hypothetical anymore. We're talking about terrorist groups actively using that vulnerability to their advantage. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last time I was on your program, but a man was arrested in Virginia earlier this year who is in contact with a group called Al-Shabaab. That is Al-Qaeda's branch in Somalia. And the reason he was arrested is because he was running a human smuggling ring that actually brought in 270 Somalis, including at least several suspected members of Al-Shabaab. Now, I think the number is a lot higher because, I mean, if a man is working with this Al-Qaeda branch and he's smuggling in Somalis across the Mexican border, you have to assume that the people they're spending their resources on to smuggle into the United States are Al-Shabaab members or people paying very, very well and therefore indirectly financing Al-Shabaab. So the fact that nearly 300 people can make it across the Mexican border coming from one of the most war-torn, terrorist-harboring countries on the planet is extremely frightening.
It really is. And, you know, you think about what takes place, I think, in Afghanistan. They just sentenced to death and executed a 7-year-old and accused him of spying for the government, a 7-year-old. If they could do that to a 7-year-old, what are they going to do to American citizens that they hate everything about us and they feel that they have a sworn duty to their God to kill us and to destroy us? And yet, I don't think American people are really waking up when we see Muslim groups connected to communist groups here in America and the reaction to that Jewish cargo ship. This is very shameful and very frightening what's going on here in this country. And I can only hope that the American people who are listening to us and, you know, that we would put in the government that will secure our borders, clean out these terrorist groups. We've got to dig them out. They're like cancer cells hidden in America. And also the American people, one thing they can do is we're going to have to pray for intervention from God himself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the problem is that I think Americans are educated on Al-Qaeda, but they're not educated on the fact that there's this massive network of different radical Islamic groups that pursue different tactics. Some of them think Al-Qaeda is reckless, so then they prefer only violence overseas but not violence here at home. There's other groups that are completely nonviolent and prefer to just infiltrate Western societies and change them that way. But that doesn't make any of them moderate. They're still cut from the same Islamist cloth. And so I think that there's confusion in terms of identifying threats. But the Somalis I was mentioning coming in across the Mexican border, Al-Shabaab is a branch of Al-Qaeda. So we're talking about the worst of the worst. We're not talking about a nonviolent variant, a less extreme variant. We're talking about Al-Qaeda, the most reckless, violent group possibly on this earth.
And the same groups that we see bombing in Iraq these days. We're seeing so many suicide bombing attacks, car bombing attacks in Iraq, and now Afghanistan is becoming a very difficult war for America. I don't think the American people really understand what could happen. What's happening over there can actually happen here. And 9/11 might just have been a prelude of it.
Mm-hmm. And what I think really proves your point is the fact that the U.S. people were reluctant to support President Obama's surge into Afghanistan. I mean, people that opposed the war in Iraq and said they want to pull their troops out of there, they constantly said Iraq did not attack us. Al-Qaeda, they claimed Al-Qaeda wasn't originally there. The real fight's in Afghanistan. And then when we move the real fight to Afghanistan, we see the same arguments being brought up. So was it really about the strategic question, or was it just about growing tired of war and not feeling that they were threatened? I think that the second explanation is a lot more likely, because as soon as we went to Afghanistan, we saw the same resistance. And that's unfortunate for President Obama, because Afghanistan, I feel there can be absolutely no argument about that we should be there and that we have to remain there so that the Taliban, the guys who harbored Osama bin Laden and allowed al-Qaeda to attack us, from coming to power.
I agree with you. And one more comment, and then I'm going to have you respond. What does it mean to you that after the towers were knocked down by extremist terrorists, now they are building a mosque on that property? The way I look at it, it's like going into a country, conquering it, and hanging or raising your flag. Is that what we're seeing with this Islamic mosque?
Well, I don't want to equate all mosques or Muslims with 9/11. I don't equate Islam with 9/11, even though I think that they have theological motivations.
Okay.
But it's just blatantly insensitive. I mean, you don't go – this is the equivalent of taking a German flag and hanging it across the street from a synagogue. I mean, it's – yes, not all Germans are Nazis, but that's still extremely insensitive. And then when we look – at the background of this man behind this project, which, by the way, is a 13-story mosque that would dominate the skyline over Ground Zero. When we look into his background, we find that he doesn't believe that the terrorists on 9/11 had theological motivation, so that's a problem. But then a few days ago, he really, I think, hurt his own project and potentially ended it, because he was on a radio show on KABC, and he said they wouldn't condemn Hamas as a terrorist organization. And, I mean, as soon as that line is crossed, I mean, are the American people really going to allow a mega mosque to be built near Ground Zero by a man who doesn't even have the moral clarity to condemn Hamas as a terrorist organization? I think those words, if they get out, are going to end this project.
Wow. Ryan, let's have your website and how to get in touch with you. I love reading your analysis. Thank you so much for the work you do.
Oh, thank you. My personal website where I can be contacted at is worldthreats.com. And I'm not sure if the website's back up, but I also work over at the Christian Action Network's website, which is christianaction.org.
Which broke the news on the, I guess they call them the homegrown terrorist training groups here in America. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. That was our DVD, Homegrown Jihad.
Yeah, man, I'm not sure what's worse. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. God bless you. And I look forward to having you back.
Thanks for having me again.
Folks, we'll be right back after a one-minute break with Insights to Dr. Mom.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you want a wireless laptop, but your credit score is holding you back? We can help, guaranteed. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, we'll send you a brand new wireless laptop, no matter what your credit looks like. Call Tronix Country now. You're approved for a brand new Dell or HP laptop. Call now and we'll also include a free MP3 player and free LCD TV with your paid order. Call 800-769-1426. Still not sure? Then hear what our customers say.
I'm really enjoying my laptop.
I just wanted to call to say how happy I am with it.
And I'm very pleased with their service, so I would suggest to anyone that is looking for computers or trying to find computers, Tronix is the best place to call.
Call now and lock in your free gifts. You will not be turned down. Call 800-769-1426. 800-769-1426. That's 800-769-1426.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
And now it's time for Insights with Dr. Mom. Dealing with family issues of the day and discussing a common sense way to solve the problems we're all faced with our families today. That's Insights with Dr. Mom. Heard right here on Tan Talk Radio on Reality Check. And now, Dr. Mom.
Although we are going through hard times, it doesn't mean that we should give up hope or go into depression or even want to die. Remember, where there is life, there is hope. Things are replaceable, but people are not. So what should we do to coast through the hard times? Mike and I were in a great deal of debt, like so many people in this country. We have a mortgage that is more than the value of our house. We had to close our business and cut our losses forcing us to use 3 credit cards that we maxed out to survive. But after going through the fears and uncertainties, we turned to our Heavenly Father for guidance and help. Yes, we began to pray about our situation. Miraculously, hope began to spring up in us. Nothing actually changed in our finances, but we began to see things differently, clearer and more positive. We felt as if a heavy weight was lifted off our shoulders. Then we heard of agencies who promised to help sort out the financial problems. So we prayed that God would lead us to the right one, and he did. As we listened to the advice of our financial affairs began to sort out. I believe there is an answer to every problem, and we can find it if we tap into the power of God. We can choose one of two paths. We can worry with stress that leads to physical illness, or we can put our trust in the one who holds the entire universe in the palm of his hands. This is Insights with Dr. Mom. If you pursue God with all your heart, he will equip you to handle anything. Be kind to yourself. Trust God and live. Life is too short and precious, so let Almighty God into your life. You will be glad you did.
You know, Clary, it is so true what you and I have been through for many years. And we rarely ever talk about our experience of the inner city ministries because we're not doing, per se, a Christian show. But we've been in Christian ministry for 27, 28 years. I can remember the day they were going to go turn our electricity off. But I remember earlier being in a meeting and I felt somebody just patting me in my shirt pocket. I never thought nothing about it. And you remember the day the electric company came to turn off our electric? I said, wait a second. The guy was at the house. And I reached out of my pocket. It was 2 $100 bills. And that's what I owed on the utility.
Exactly what we needed to have him turn away from turning our electricity off.
Yeah, and we saw other things that normal churchgoers never saw. Because when we went down to the inner city, I remember the first day we were there, the police came into the neighborhood we were at. We must have had 16, 18 crack houses. We had all kinds of gangs, male, female prostitutes, bisexual prostitutes, all the type of thing going on. And they said, we lost the streets to these, I won't say the terminology, and we stood there. And you and I had a number of times, people had guns on us, knives on us, 2x4s, and they actually tried to fire the trigger or swipe the board and hit us. But by the grace of God, we were never touched and never harmed. And we learned to trust him. And you know what I've learned? You and I have learned this. Even if our life was taken from us in that work, okay, look where we're going to be at. He is the way home to heaven. His name is Jesus. And unfortunately, what the mindset of the media and the mainstream media and the indoctrination that takes place in our school systems, you don't need God. You just evolve. Or the churches today, you can get there any way you want. Even Allah will take you there. How false that is. And that is really heart-wrenching. And you and I are going to be changing our format. We're going to take a month off in July. And we're going to be changing our format. We have to go after the truth because the American people are really being deceived when it comes to spiritual matters.
Right. And we have to hold on to the truth. And the truth, the only truth that we know of, it comes from Almighty God. And guess what? The truth will set you free. We need to keep our freedoms in the United States. And we need to be able to trust a supernatural being that we know that loves us, and regardless of what we think he is, God is God, whether we believe him or not, and he will always be God. So God bless America.
Folks, thank you for listening to Reality Check Live with Mike and Clary. We'll be back tomorrow.
Well, I wanna hug it. So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes, sirree. I bet I wanna, da 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 hug it.